chapter of the book of Joshua. If nothing happens, we intend tonight to finish the 40-year wilderness journey and, of course, get the children of Israel across the Jordan River to a little spot on your map you can identify as Gilgal. Gilgal. So, remember on Sunday morning we talked about the book of Joshua and how that the book of Joshua was a continuation of the book of Deuteronomy. And that the first four chapters, actually the first five chapters, is not only a continuation of the book of Deuteronomy, but it brings to a close the 40-year period of time that they wandered out in the wilderness. So as we began looking at the book of Joshua, what we're going to see is the fact that there on the side of Jordan, where Moses went up on the mountain, died, and was buried by God, there's going to be a three-day period of time that they spend in the location where they were camped. Then they'll move down to water's edge and wait for the sign or wait for the time for Joshua to say it's time to cross. Now, what's going on with the Jordan at this point that could hinder that crossing?
Flood.
It's a flood stage. And I mean, those waters were rolling. They were fierce. So, there's no doubt they're looking at that river. And they're thinking, well, we're going to need some help like our forefathers had when they crossed the Red Sea. So remember now in chapter 1, they are on this side of Jordan waiting for the time to cross. Verse 2 says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall trod upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now notice, if you will, that land that he's talking about in Joshua chapter 1 is the front page of the map that you see that we've been looking at for quite some time. And it's color-coded so that you can see each individual tribe, where their land is located, where they'll have to go to identify that land and possess that land. Now, as they go through that section, they're going to be taking everything, as the text says, that their soul steps upon. And what Joshua is going to do, as you see as the book flows out, he's going to divide the territory into two sections. He's going to divide it into the northern section and the southern section. And what they'll do once they cross over the Jordan is they'll possess the southern section first. and then they'll go off to the normal section. Now remember it well. There's 2.5 tribes that have asked Moses for permission to take their inheritance on the side of the Jordan that they're on right now. And it's marked also on the map. It, of course, is Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. So those 2.5 tribes are going to take their land, or they have already taken their land. Remember when they went to battle in the latter part of Deuteronomy? The land that they will possess has already been taken. As a matter of fact, they were instructed to go over with the others and help them to take their land. So they're going to leave their children and their wives on this side of Jordan. They're going to cross over the Jordan, help their brothers and sisters of Israel take their land, then they'll go back and possess theirs. So that's kind of the direction that we're heading as we start in to our study in the book of Joshua. Now notice what he tells them. Verse 7, he reminded them, you need to be strong and very courageous. And then notice it says, Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. Now, what is the condition? And what is he talking about that they're not supposed to turn from the right or the left? That's right. Remember, if you will, they received the law back at Mount Sinai. Now he's reminding them before they move down to the water's edge. He said, you remember what Moses said. Don't you depart from the law. Don't you depart to the left or to the right. You stay faithful to my word and everything will work out. Don't depart from it. Now, how does that apply to us today? Absolutely. Now, we're under a different law today. We're under the law of Christ. We're under the new covenant. But the instructions are the same. You don't depart from the right or the left. You don't add to. You don't take away from it. Remember, if you will, the last warning in the last book of the New Testament, in the last few chapters, don't add to and don't take away from my word. So he reminds them of that in chapter 1. Notice, if you will, what he says in verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. To the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives and your little ones, your cattle, shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But you'll pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. So you see, there's the instruction. Within 3 days, can you imagine the anticipation? Sitting there waiting. And here comes Joshua and says, get things together. Because within 3 days, you're going to pass over Jordan. And they could hear the waters flowing. see the rippling tides coming down. But in 3 days, you're going to pass on. Now notice, if you will, as you start in chapter 2, Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shechem. See, that's where they were at. That's where they were lodging on this side of Jordan. That's where they had been for quite some time. While they're still there, spies are sent. This time, not 12, but how many?
Two.
To spy secretly, view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house, named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the city of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men, hid them, and said to them, and there came men unto them, but I was not whence they were. In other words, she hid them under corn flax or corn stalks, and said, yeah, they came through. They're gone. If you'll get in a hurry, you can probably catch them. So here they are, hid on her roof. They come through looking for them, pass on through, overlook what's going on. Doesn't even consider the fact that they may be hiding on a rooftop. They're out looking for them. Now notice, if you will, it says in verse 9, she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. We heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. Now remember what you've got here. The whole of Israel is still at Shechem. The two spies are in Jericho. They're across the river. And they're carrying on a conversation with Rahab the harlot, and she basically just confesses up. She said, we know that the Lord God has given you this land. We know that there's nothing we can do to withstand you taking, because we have even heard what Jehovah God did when y'all left Egypt. We heard how that he parted those waters and you walked through on dry land. So notice, if you will, they had spent 40 years wandering out there in the wilderness, had spent a year around Mount Sinai, and word was still out. Though they had been wandering out there in that wilderness for 40 years, word was still out what they had done when they crossed and left Egypt. So she basically, in the remaining part of chapter 2, asked that she and her family are spared when they come in with their armies. And of course, what do they tell her to do?
Put a ribbon on the door.
Tie a ribbon. Tie a ribbon so that when we come around, we'll know what house these spies were lodged in and what you did for them, and we'll pass by you. You'll be saved. Now you get into chapter 3, and we're at the seaside. We've left Shittim. Notice what he says in verse 1 of chapter 3. Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed on. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. So notice, if you will, now, they were there on the seashore for how many days?
Three.
The officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, when you see the ark of covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near to it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. In other words, he's telling them, now you pay close attention. You watch the high priests that are moving the Ark of the Covenant. You give them some room, some space between you and they. And they'll signal the place. They'll mark the spot where you are to go over. Now notice what it says. 5 and 6. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now you talk about an exciting night. Sanctify yourself, because you are about to see some unbelievable, marvelous works. You're about to see what your forefathers saw. When Moses spread his hands and the water stacked up at the Red Sea, you're about to see that Joshua is going to lead you like Moses led your forefathers out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, down to Sinai, and led you these 40 years into the wilderness. Now notice, if you will, he says in verse 7, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. Thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you're come to the brink of the Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, hear the words of the Lord your God. And he said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites, the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jezebites. So notice the instructions that Joshua is passing on to Israel. The time's here. One day away. One night away. And you're going to cross over. Now notice what he does. Verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it'll come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, dipped in the brim of water. The Jordan's overflowing. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far from the city. Adam. And it goes on to say in verse 17, the priest that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all Israel passed over on dry ground. Now, how many people are we talking about?
All of them.
All of them. 600,000 fighting men, plus the wives, the children, and anybody else that was with them. Now, how long do you think that would take?
Several hours. Depends on how wide the gap was.
There you go. Depending on how wide the gap it was. But remember, who's running the show?
God's running the show.
God's running the show, and the priests are having to stand out there and hold that Ark of the Covenant up while all the people pass over on dry land. So the priest had a pretty good job to stand there and hold the Ark of the Covenant until everybody came over. Now, as you close out chapter 3 and get into chapter 4, remember we said that signifies the end. The end of what? The end of the 40-year wandering in the wilderness. Now they're across the Jordan. They're at a little place you see on your map called Gilgal. And right above Gilgal is what?
Jericho.
Jericho. That's their goal. That's their first task, is to take the city of Jericho. But before they get to Gilgal, look what instructions he gave them on chapter 4. Take you 12 men out of every tribe, a man, command you, saying, take hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's seat stood firm, 12 stones. And you'll carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place. Now we know, we're reading ahead a little bit, we know that lodging place is going to be Gilgal. Then Joshua called the 12 men that he prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe and said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan. Take upon you, every man of you, a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of tribes of Israel, that this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord commanded Joshua. Now look at verse 9. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and there are there unto this day, while the priests which bear the Ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the children, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted. with them. But they were leading the army. They were doing exactly what they were supposed to do. Now notice verse 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, what mean these stones? You'll let your children know. Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. Remember what Moses was instructed to tell the people when he came off of Sinai and he gave them the law. You teach your children when they're lying down. You teach them when they're rising up. You teach them when they're walking by the way. Further instructions for them to fulfill their obligation to remind their children and their children what had happened at this particular location, so that it would never be forgotten. I remember in the late 80s, I heard a preacher by the name of Bill Jackson hold a meeting, and he started that meeting with a lesson. What mean ye these stones? I still remember that lesson because of course he was special to me as a preacher, and that was a special message that just kind of rung out, and it was a type of lesson that you can remember. So now we'll pick up Sunday morning in chapter 5, but we have concluded our 40-year wandering